A62. Number 6B.
All right, we go to the next synonym, truth. This is a great point that I guess most philosophies, most religion would accept, that God is truth. So, if we read in these books that God is truth, we shouldn't be too happy yet and say, well, these people are saying the same thing, God is truth. What do they understand under the term truth? This is the great question mark. And we would have to see that Mrs. Eddy uses truth as a synonymous term for all the other synonymous terms, which would mean that truth would not be truth if it would not be at the same time mind. What would be truth if it would not be mind? What would be truth if it would not be mind? What would be missing?
Lawless?
Mm-hmm.
Beliefs instead of knowledge.
Belief instead of knowledge. Mm-hmm.
Uncorrecting.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes, it's all right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Could it be so simple that we would say that it just would be an idea without, you know, just hanging there, an idea, no manifestation of it at all, a true idea? Would it be so simple?
Well, a true idea is pretty good, is it?
Yeah. I think so.
I think so, huh? But what would be truth without mind?
The idea would not have any form of basis of manifestation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It would just be an idea. It would just be a concept.
Yeah, a concept. Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
Because it would need spirit, that life-giving
spirit. Don't go too fast. Just take it easy. Just take it easy. You already go to spirit, huh? You see, you already said if it would not be spirit. Huh? Try to be very strict with yourself, or else you get into an undefinite sense of it. You see, already when I asked what would be truth without mind? You already didn't stick to our rule of thumb and say, let's first consider it as a noumenon counterfeit. You went right through some small idea of, well, what was it?
An intelligent idea, could it
be? Well, that's already better, huh? But why don't you say it was a simple? Huh? What would be truth if it were not mind? Huh? Then the truth would have no mind. It's as simple as that, which is quite terrific, you see, to say that truth would have no mind, because that's usually what is so important, that they feel truth is something that stands by itself. And there you get it, that it would be without really mindfulness within itself. In other words, the truth itself knows itself, is a mind of its own. So the truth is aware of its truth ability, of its truthfulness.
It needs mind to be aware of its truthfulness.
Yeah, you can say that, you see. Yeah. Yeah. If truth would not be mind, then it would be mindless truth, a truth that does not know itself, is not aware of itself, is not mindful of itself. And this is very big, because how is it in mathematics? Is a mathematical truth mind? Not at all. Not at all. And we always take mathematics as a terrific good symbol, say, for illustrating divine metaphysics. But the moment we come to the big issues of the science, even mathematics doesn't help us very far. Because in mathematics, you have truth, and you think this is the most exact truth you can think of, and it has not even a mind. You have to have a mind about math, about the truth of math. You see? We have to have a mind for the truth about math, or that truth doesn't manifest itself. Huh? Doesn't appear, doesn't manifest itself. But in Christian Science it is different. Their truth is aware of itself, because it's mind full of itself. And therefore truth knows itself, and therefore truth does manifest itself in the way that truth has an idea of mind. Yeah. This is what you wanted to bring out. I felt it. Yeah. So, naturally the other answers were right too. I mean, when you said truth without mind would be lawless. Lawless. That's true. Because mind is law, and the counterfeit is lawlessness. But this is not a noumenon counterfeit. I have a feeling, do you know what the noumenon is and what the phenomena is? Is that clear? Well, if it's not quite clear, look it up in the dictionary, because that has to be clear. Mrs. Eddy speaks about mind is one, noumenon and phenomena, God and his thought. Noumenon is... actually, do you say noumenon or noumenon? Noumenon? Noumenon. Mm-hmm. Noumenon is from the Greek to conceive, really, nomos, from the noun to conceive of. It's so to say the ground or cause of every phenomena. A noumenon is the ground of a phenomena. The phenomena is the way it appears to. That's the phenomena. So noumenon is much more broader, much more general, it's basic. Whereas the phenomena are the various way how the noumenon appears. So if we take into our reasoning as much as we can the noumenon of a counterfeit, the broader, naturally the wider, our consciousness covers the problem. So if you take in, truth without activity, if you take truth and say, what would be truth without mind? And you would say, well, truth without mind would be inactive. All right, that's true too. It would be lawless. All right, that's true too. But this is not big enough. You can fill in this thing afterwards, but the bigness of it is that truth without mind would be a truth that would not be mind full of itself, would not know itself, would not be aware of itself. And in this way we can see the bigness of the truth.
Are you talking about the same consciousness? Without mind, is truth still consciousness?
Yes, 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 yes.
And conscious of itself?
Yes.
How can that be? I mean, how can it not? Without mind, it wouldn't be aware of itself.
Yes.
But it would still be conscious of itself.
I think consciousness is that wonderful combination of truth and mind. Because mind is awareness of, it's a knowing, the awareness, yes. And if it's with truth, it's the consciousness of truth through mind. Yes? That which gives truth consciousness is actually mind. Because mind, you know, as that which knows, which perceives, which conceives, which apprehends, which comprehends, which conceives, you see? This is all that which makes awareness. And when it becomes truth, that awareness of mind is saying, I am the truth that is aware of myself. That's your divine consciousness. That's why you have all those wonderful combination of truth and mind that bring out that really mind is intelligence, that truth is intelligence of mind. Yeah. So this gives us a sense that we don't have in any other science, actually. In every other science, you have a truth, an unshakable truth, but one always has to be aware of it. We always have to need our mind to be aware of it, as truth itself is aware of itself. How would be truth without spirit? Yes?
Would lack self-understanding?
It would lack its self-understanding, yes.
Or ability to understand.
Oh, the ability to understand, all right, yes. What else could you feel about truth? Yes. If you compare it with any other science,
it would be an illusion.
Would be an illusion.
You wouldn't know whether it's right or wrong. The truth would not be verified.
Aha, uh-huh. That's much nearer to spirit than to mind, huh? In illusion, I think you would have in mind truth. Without mind, you would get illusion, because illusion is a counterfeit of mind and not of spirit. Yes? Don't you have that in your list, huh? Illusion is always a counterfeit of mind, huh? Whereas spirit, the counterfeit would be what you said, the inability to separate rightly between good and evil, between truth and error, between life and death, to separate. The inability to separate between opposites. Yes? Doesn't Mrs. Eddy speak about the material truth? Yes? Even with italicized printing, she italicizes material truth, and she wants to refute really that truth is absolutely spiritual. We must see that there is no truth in matter. That matter has no absolute truth. And therefore we can never really deduce any truth from matter, which physics wouldn't accept, which most sciences wouldn't accept. They feel that matter is truth, is the factuality of being, and therefore would reveal the truth about something. If we go to soul, what would you see, what truth would be without soul? That perhaps not so easy, huh?
Wouldn't have any identity.
Yes. Now, when we use our rule of thumb that we say, let's speak from experience, what is your experience in that truth has no identity? Of what do you think?
Because truth knows itself
as
truth.
Oh, I see. In that way, identity. Yes. Which would actually mean that truth is unchangeable.
Yes.
Yeah. So that it maintains its identity. Yes. What would really be... I come back always to the same rule, which you don't like. Huh? You just don't like the big things, huh? You like to have the small things, huh? What about using a counterfeit noumenon?
Well, it would not be absolute.
It would not be absolute. Is absolute the counterfeit of soul?
Changeable is. It has to be absolute, or else it has to be changeable.
Yes. What is absolute? An idea of which synonymous term?
It would be one that would only be based, it seems to me, on idea, divine idea.
Mm-hmm. What is?
If it's not,
yeah.
Then, and you leave soul out, then that
is soul absolute. Is soul absolute, or which synonymous term is absolute? Yeah. You see, that's value of knowing the synonymous term, because then we really can cover a whole ground. Huh? You see, then when we come to principle, we can say that. Huh? If we say it in soul, where it is not quite right, we miss out something. Huh? Because principle is absolute. Huh? Principle is apodictive. Principle is imperative. Principle is that which is absolute. So when we have truth and principle, that comes in. Huh? And actually it's a truth. But if we know the counterfeit of soul, we don't leave out that in our consciousness. You see, that's the value at the moment of knowing the synonymous term. That we have a whole checklist and can go right through the whole checklist and not leave out something which is important. What would you see in soul?
Without soul, truth could be determined or identified by the sentence.
For instance, this, huh? Is that something in practical experience which is important in the science? Super important, huh? Super important, because every science says only that can be accepted as truth which can be verified by the testimony of the physical senses. This is one great point in the theory of science. You know, that science has its own theory which says, now, what are the constituents that constitute a true theory in science? And among those is just this, that only that is considered in the classical term of a science which can be verified by the five physical senses. Until something is not verified by the five physical senses, it is not accepted as a truth. See? This is important, huh? It's terrific. So we have to see that here suddenly we are face to face to a new sense of truth, which says this does not need to be verified by the five testimony of five physical senses. It must be therefore verified by spiritual sense, by soul sense. Yes? So, if it comes to truth as principle, what would be missing if truth would not be principle? Well, for instance, we had before that it would not be absolute. Huh? That truth would not be absolute, yes?
If we didn't, then healing would be dependent on personalities, people, or an anthropomorphic God.
You could say that, huh? Then truth and the healing of truth, yeah, would be dependent on people, people activity, on people authority, huh? On a practitioner, yes, exactly, yes. It could not be demonstrated, absolutely, you see. This is a terrific point too, isn't it, Jane, that in all the other sciences you say, well, we know that there is a truth about this and this subject, and but we say we have to use that truth as our principle to demonstrate it. Huh? So we say we have to use that truth as a principle to demonstrate it and prove itself. Whereas truth says, I'm a principle. God is truth, God is principle, therefore truth is principle. Meaning that truth is operating by itself, is demonstrating itself, is proving itself. This is completely new. When you went to school and had to do your arithmetic problems, you couldn't say, well, the truth of arithmetic is going to prove it for itself. I don't have to do anything. I just sit there and wait until the truth of arithmetic is going to prove itself. Huh? It wouldn't do it, would it? But in science it does. Isn't it terrific, the change? Huh? And naturally you can see that if we are not aware of these facts, then we don't really practice Christian science from the standpoint of science. See? Then we are still in the old paradigm and say, now how am I going to prove this truth? Truth, proof. Huh? Truth, principle. How I am going to prove this truth? And you bring in a foreign element. How am I, the personal I, going to do something to that reality? And all what we do, we interfere with the rhythm of reality. That's all what we do with that sense of thing. Whereas if you would see the truth about something, and what is the truth, and what the magnitude of truth, and then see this truth is at the same time a principle, and therefore at the same time proving itself, and is therefore not dependent, as you said, on people. Yeah? I think we should really grow into that stature where we feel that we get rid of the old paradigm of practice, you know, where we just feel we study Christian science for the very purpose that if something happens, we can ring up the practitioner. This is not Christian science. We really should now be mature enough so that in most cases, really, we feel, oh no, we are master of the situation, because truth is its own principle, and no more a practitioner. This practitioner business really should get a new slant, quite a new tone. We, in the Christian science field, one was educated, I don't know why, but you study a subject for what purpose? For no other purpose than if a problem arises that the other one is going to solve it for us. You pay for it? Okay. This is not good. You know, this has corrupted the whole Christian science idea. That's where the corruption came in. Always to say, I'm a Christian scientist and I'm loyal. I'm a loyal student. All the letters I read, I'm a loyal student. They never say loyal to what? Certainly not to truth. Because truth is going to be loyal to itself because it has a principle. So let's culture our consciousness, you know, and stay within that consciousness of the synonymous term, and then we begin to see the bigness of them and the impact of them. Right, what is truth, or what would be missing if truth would not be life? Truth would not be life. It wouldn't be expressed. Huh? For instance, that's it wouldn't be easiness. Huh? That expressed, that's a noumenon counterfeit. Huh? It would not live. Huh? Would not be. Huh? Yeah. Truth takes its beingness, so to say, from life. And without life, truth would not have a living beingness. You know what I mean? A beingness, huh? An isness, huh? Yes? Yeah? It would be somehow an abstraction or something like that, just an abstract concept. And what would be truth if it would not be love? Yes?
It would not be self-fulfilling.
It would not be self-fulfilling. We get that tone of self-fulfilling practically every time we come to love, which is beautiful. I mean, we it's quite all right. There's nothing to be said against that. Again, because we know that in any other science, there is no self-fulfillment in it. We just don't have any science which says this science has a principle or a truth that is of the nature that it does everything by itself in order to fulfill truth. In every other science, we have to fulfill it. We have to interfere and interfere and step in between and say, now I'm going to use that truth so that it finds its accomplishment, its success, its fulfillment. Whereas truth and love, truth being love, see that combination of truth, love, is one that Mrs. Eddy uses very often, because it says that truth is always at the point of self-fulfillment. Yes?
Without love, you have a basis for either hatred or fear of truth.
Also, you would have a fear of truth. So many fear the truth. Yes, that's true too. Yes, please.
You have exclusion rather than inclusion.
Yes. That too. Good.
You say there'd be no purpose to truth?
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay.